A reading from Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. Do not judge, so that you may not be judged. For with the judgment you make, you will be judged, and the measure you give will be the measure you get. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, "Let me take the speck out of your eye," while the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Amen. Thanks. Thanks be to God this morning. Kept scripture short for you this morning. You like that, huh? I can do that every time I preach, if you like. Boy, it is a joy and a blessing to be in worship with each and every one of you all. If you're new to Ebenezer Church, my name is Donovan Archie. I am one of the pastors here on staff, and I get the opportunity to preach and just share a message with you today. And I'm super grateful for that. So again, good morning to all of our friends, church family, and neighbors. I'm glad that y'all came here today to worship God in spirit and in truth. And I pray that today, whatever it is that you need from God, whatever your needs are, whatever your desires are, that the Lord God Almighty blesses you incredibly today if you came expecting it. So if that's you today, will you just join me in giving God praise this morning? We thank you, Lord. Well, we are in our third installment of our Become More series. And in this particular series, we are exploring what it means to draw and bring us closer to God, but then also enhance our spiritual lives and our relationships with others. Become More, as you see the title, calls us to a type of spiritual life where we let Christ examine our lives, where we let Christ examine our mind, our hearts, our soul, our muscle, our entire being. Where we allow Christ to show us the areas in our lives where we sometimes come up short. And then it also provides for us the opportunity for God to begin a holy work in us. Begin a holy work in us that is called refinement. Where God refines us and matures us and shapes us and edifies us. Become More is an invitation for each and every one of us to mature in the virtues and in the qualities that help us to align more closely with God's vision for each of our lives. You see, the truth is that if we took a unique and honest inventory of our lives, especially our spiritual lives, if we took an inventory of where we currently find ourselves sometimes, we may find that many of us are becoming less of the type of person that looks like or that feels like they abide with Christ regularly. Hence the need to become more. So we begin this series, we begin this time together, allowing God to have God's way in our lives, being open to whatever God wants to do in our lives as we invite God to be in us, to be with us and all around us. Today, I want to have a heart-to-heart with you, with each and every one of you, especially the Christian community. And if that's not you, make your grocery list. You see, we are called to encouragement and to be a source of encouragement. But then we ourselves are also called to be encouraged in our faith. And so today I want to share with you ways that we can be encouraged, but then also be a source of encouragement. Through a teaching that Jesus is profoundly known for. Will you pray with me as we get started today? Holy God, great spirit, we love you. And we come today to hear a word from you. God, I don't know, Pastor Donovan doesn't know what is happening in the lives of these your people, God. But I pray that you speak to the human heart today, all of those that are present and even watching online. And God, whatever work is needed in their lives and my life, God, you do. Go to the place, deep down in the place of the human heart where Pastor Donovan was never designed to go, but only you were designed. And do the work in the human heart that only you can do. We pray this in your name. Amen. So there are a couple places, a few places, probably more than that, where we can look in scripture as to how we are to live a life that is encouraging. There are also lots of places throughout scripture that can help us have a mindset and a being that is encouraged always, and how we can live into a different type of model for our lives. We can look at scriptures like Luke 10, where we find the parable of the Good Samaritan. Here we have it. A compassionate Samaritan helps a wounded man who's been ignored by others. Not only has he been ignored by others, but he's been passed by and rendered no, and had not been rendered help. Two people pass him by, a Levite and a priest. In today's culture or society, you could think of those two people like a deacon, to be a deacon or perhaps an elder. This story told by Jesus teaches us the importance of what it means to be loving and helping to others regardless of your background or status. We also can look to another unit of scripture or piece of scripture today. We can look at Romans 10, where we find the teaching about putting love into action. There in Romans 10, we see Paul urging the Roman community, but then also Christians living within the Roman community, to put on love, but then to also put love in action. And he writes to this community by saying, "Be devoted to one another, honor one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer." He even says, share with the Lord's people who are in need. Oh, and practice hospitality is what he also says. You see, those are great scriptures we can review if we're learning to be encouraged, but then also to become more encouraging. And while in light of these scriptures, hospitality and encouragement and compassion and love are very valuable to our lives and our faith, I gotta tell you that they are only a byproduct of a deeper, more robust transformation that takes place in our lives. You see, this deeper transformation that we experience is a transformation that takes place in both heart and life. And it is transformation in heart and life that leads us to develop the fruit of compassion and hospitality and encouragement. They're only byproducts of a deeper transformation. You see, we become more divinely encouraging and loving and compassionate when we engage deeply with God and let God do work in our lives. Let God remove things that needs to be removed that doesn't help us to align with our Christ-like identity. And the way we do that is by wrestling with scripture and praying and building relationships with others, but then also considering our own life experiences and the wisdom we gain from how we have wrestled ourselves. All of that all has a purpose. It has the purpose of addressing the core of who we are deeply, and God is concerned with who we are at our core. So, in light of our theme today, becoming more encouraging, I'm convinced that the best place to start is Jesus' teaching on judgment. You see, this teaching on judgment in Matthew, I think, is a fascinating scripture or unit and even teaching, though it is oftentimes a very misunderstood passage and teaching. I'll start by what I find interesting. What I find interesting about this teaching on judgment is that first, Jesus knows something about judgment that we don't. Jesus believes that this is essential enough to talk about, so he brings it up in his teaching. He also wants for his disciples to begin making some connections with their heart and in their head and their minds and in their being about the ability for us, for humans, for his disciples to judge and our use of judgment, compared up against how God prefers for us to use judgment, how God sees and understands and uses judgment. The second fascinating thing about this particular unit in teaching of scripture is that judgmentalism is perhaps one of the greatest social phenomenons. It is also one of the most innate human behaviors that each of us have the possibility of possessing. It is also, if you look out the window, one of the greatest social sins in our society today. And judgmentalism has the potential to plague each and every one of us, even all of us here present. You see, listeners and followers of Jesus then, and even listeners and followers of Jesus today, right now, all know what it's like to have too many thoughts upon someone, then we should, don't we? What we know also is that as Jesus provides for us a different take on judgment or a deeper understanding on judgment, he has a want that's outlined here too for his disciples. For his disciples to know that this teaching on judgment is a critical quality to avoid if you plan to follow Jesus. If you plan to call yourself a child of God, this is something that you must pay close attention to, but at all costs avoid. Lastly, the last fascinating and mysterious part about this teaching actually points to what we misunderstand about judgment. Here it is. We are told that we're not supposed to judge and that we're not supposed to do it. But yet the question for me, and I don't know about you, the question for you may be, well, why does it seem so natural to our being? Why is it so natural to who I am? It just happens to me. You see, as people of faith, moreover, as Christians, we know that there is a tension here. We know that as Christians, we live in between a tension. We live in between the tension of there being a reasonable desire not to be judgmental of other people's behaviors and character, but then also the moral necessity to make sound judgments in some cases. And when this tension arises, it arises because on one hand, as Christians and as people, we seek deeply to be empathetic and non-judgmental. But yet on the other hand, we know that there are people in our world, in our society, even within our faith and community, who deeply needs to be built up and edified and equipped in the body of Christ and sometimes even outside of the body of Christ. So we live within the tensions. And then we're left with the question, Lord, what in the world do we do? What do we do living in between the tensions of being empathetic, but then also the need for us to help sharpen one another in the faith? Jesus teaches us on judgment. Jesus is very direct in this passage. In this teaching, he's very direct, but also Jesus is not entirely clear. I got your back. Hang on. You see, Jesus is direct and very clear, but it's hard to understand. But what I think is hard to understand is the fullness of his teaching, because I think it requires more of us. It requires not only for us to read it with natural eyes and ears, but it also requires for us an opportunity to pay attention to what this text and scripture may say to us spiritually. That we have to have spiritual ears and eyes, and we have to wrestle more with God and the Holy Spirit to understand what Jesus is truly establishing here. It's not just with our natural selves we understand it. We have to understand it spiritually as well. What's clear here is that Jesus is not giving prudential advice. No. He is not sharing his best practices. No. He is not sharing with you wisdom. Absolutely not. What Jesus is doing here in this teaching is seeking to orient the heart and the mind of his followers and those who truly seek to live a life in him to be washed and cleansed, but then also matured. You see, Jesus wants for his disciples to be developed in the qualities that represent him and the kingdom of God. It is thinking about how is it that I live more according to how God sees me, how God wants me to be. Developing and shaping and aligning my heart and my identity with the mind and heart of God. And for Jesus, his aim is for his disciples to have as a meditation on their heart and soul and mind and muscle. How is it that we are to be forgiving and compassionate and merciful to others when it comes to being in relationship with them? You see, again, this is not a simple suggestion here that Jesus is offering or is equipping for his disciples. Because Jesus, following this teaching, draws a distinct connection between judgment and how we embrace others, but then also with how God judges us and how God will judge us. Jesus wants for us to see that although others experience shortcomings in their lives, we too have experienced shortcomings. That we too are broken at times or have places where we fall short. And as God embraces us and walks with us, that we're called to do the same with others. Not to hold up some sort of measurement tool like a ruler up against a yardstick according to our own sense of judgment or righteousness, but that we truly have a heart that sees others, and that when others fall short in their lives, that we have God's measurement of mercy and love that helps and tends to where a person falls short. You see, judgment, finding fault in what others say or do, is a disease to the spirit. That's a part of what we need to see spiritually. It is a disease to the spirit, and when done, the critic assumes this arrogant position of superiority that entitles him or her to assess the failings and shortcomings of others. And what we need to see and experience with spiritual eyes and ears is that fault finding in others, whether that's inward or outward, whether that's done in secret or out loud, it causes for the Christian, the follower of Christ, spiritual sickness. Jesus needs for you to get this. It is an infection to the soul, and it causes us to consider ourselves spiritually superior, but then it also pushes us to a place where we become hard-hearted, where we become apathetic towards others, and thus creating a silent war in our heart that leads to only more polarization. You see, when we look at ourselves, we are to look at ourselves as one who is worthy of holy things, but as God leads us, and we should see others the same way. And judgmentalism can get in the way of us truly knowing how to embrace pain, how to embrace suffering. And fault finding makes us forget that people have wounds that are calling for something. People's wounds, people's voids are calling and begging for something in their lives. And to add fault finding and judgment to it only provides an opportunity for more wounds and voids. So Jesus calls us away from this type of behavior and these practices. And he's calling us to a new type of handiwork. You see, the truth is that we must be refined so that we see ourselves as others, that we have had identical faults and shortcomings or similar. We must be mindful of becoming religious critics, because the fundamental element of becoming a hypocrite, just as Jesus said, you hypocrites, is hypercriticism. Being a hypocrite involves hypercriticism. And our behavior when we are being hypercritical is that we are somehow not guilty of shortcomings ourselves. But it's not true. We are all divinely washed in grace and brought to a place of transformation. God calls us to a different life. So I want to stop for a minute, let you breathe. I also want to stop for a minute as one of your pastors, because I want to free you today. I want to free you today and let you know that judgment has a misunderstanding in the Christian world. Although we have had bad experiences with it, and we perhaps as people of faith, as people who have been refined, have sometimes used judgment as a tool to harm others. But I got to tell you that all forms of judgment are not bad. In fact, we need judgment. Judgment is not a horrible thing. Judgment, in fact, is a deep spiritual quality that helps us to know God, that helps us to know right from wrong, righteousness from unrighteousness. It helps us to know how we can live more and further into our identity as children of God. You see, in fact, judgment is one of the primary, if not the primary, function of the Holy Spirit. The function of the Holy Spirit is to convict and illuminate our hearts and minds. And the gift of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, gives us the ability to do what Christians call discern right from wrong, unrighteousness from righteousness. And see, we need this quality. It's important to the Christian. It is important to the Christian church, as it helps us to see right and wrong in the world, but then also ourselves. You see, when we are up to the work that God gives us, spreading the gospel and doing and living out the gospel, it is all about telling the truth. It is all about having the ability to judge, but done so with a radical amount of love, not criticism. Jesus, in fact, tells us that we are to have not hypercriticism, but we are to have hyper-awareness later in his teachings. He says that disciples are to have hyper-awareness when it comes to discerning sound doctrine and when it comes to identifying false teachers in the world. That's why you're given judgment, to be molded and shaped inwardly, but then also to discern when things are not well, when there is a threat, in fact, against the church and other Christians. Not given this tool of judgment to oppress or to condemn others. So now what? I'm glad you asked. Our call now is to be more forgiving and to practice forgiveness often. It is to first make the connections between God's mercy and grace and our ability to be agents of mercy and grace. Because God's kingdom involves us renouncing the appetite to judge others more harshly than we judge ourselves. It is not just renouncing the tendency to judge others, but it is the indulgence of judgment also, the indulgence of fault finding. And the only way that that is overcome in the heart and the mind and the life of the Christian is for us to undergo a very rigorous process of discipline in ourselves in God's spirit. It involves us praying and wrestling with God so that God can uproot that dynamic of judgment in our lives. Next, it is living a life of repentance where if we have a thought, we do what Paul encouraged us to do, which is to take every thought we have captive and make it obedient to Christ. For me, living this out is best represented through the text in Hebrews, where the writer, used by Christ and the Holy Spirit, says, "Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope that we affirm. For God can be trusted and God will keep God's promise. So let us think of ways to motivate one another towards acts of love and good works." Another translation says, "Let us provoke one another to good works, edifying, building up one another in the faith." It goes on to say, "Let us not neglect meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of Christ is upon us." So living that out more, it looks like telling others how we see God working through them and praying in our private corner for God to do more work. Expressing to others how we see God at work in their lives and it's beautiful. Telling people how we see them growing and changing and that's beautiful too. Praising the good that you see them do, but also walking alongside them with the ugly. And when they ask, tell them the truth in radical love. And then also remind people that God sees the good that they're doing. And then lastly, declare to others in love the truth of who they are in Christ. You see, as people who live a perfecting faith, live out a perfecting faith, we have to be careful as to how we use our tool of judgment. You see, people may look at us as though we are perfect, but it's not that we're perfect, although we're on a perfecting faith. It is that we've been cleansed and made over and righteous and renewed, and we live a brand new life. And for people who have that type of cleansing, we've got to be careful when using the element of judgment, to use it as a thing to help discern who we are, where God is, and how God is at work in our lives, and not as a tool to get others off of their growth journey. Amen.